Good afternoon. I'm Mike Duff. I am contributing editor to the IHA affiliated homepage news and Inspiration Theater host. In this case, for the session, AI in Action, empowering your creative team to meet the demand of tomorrow. Icona of IDMA Commerce has a view on how tomorrow is already influencing today, and we'll discuss how companies, designers, and manufacturers can use AI to reconsider their operations, making them more effective in a marketplace where online commerce is changing how companies can most effectively address consumer needs and preferences.
It's working. All right, so nice to meet you, everyone. This is what we're going to cover today, how we can use AI to enhance our design team. So, and this kind of goes to the end of the talk. I think that, you know, we look at the amount of tools that we have today that have been created in the last few years and really work of dozens of people in terms of design team that are going on research. And we look at this getting also into marketing. I think that we are seeing today that work of 10, 12 people can really be done by one person. And we see this a lot with new entrepreneurs that are really leveraging those tools to start off a company just with one person without needing to go to a VC and get $1 million to get a huge team. And what I want to explore with you guys today is the tools that we can use to do this and to really, with the same amount of team, really be able to design more product and launch more product. So we're going to cover, first of all, who am I and why listen to me, how you can use the data and all the information that's online to choose the right product for our company or the new venture for our company, how to use AI to find your competitive edge and to be able to create designs with AI. And we're going to talk about how to use surveys to understand if a product is the right pursuit before going and actually manufacturing. And lastly, we're going to talk about agile manufacturing and how I see product design in terms of the future. So who am I? My name is Idan Cohen. I'm 31 years old, born and raised in Israel. I have two companies today. One of them is IDMA Commerce, where we help brands, work with brands, and we launch the products online. We take care of marketing, we take care of distribution. We're working on global distribution right now. And then in the last few years, and that was the worst timing to launch a brand, it was right as COVID hit, we started manufacturing our own pet products brand. And that was 4 years ago. It grew quite well. We're doing around the low seven figures, so it's still a small brand. But throughout creating this brand, we, with this new team of only three people, we learned how to use those tools to be able to launch a large amount of products. And then I've been in the industry of launching and selling online the last 10 years. So this kind of summarizes my experience. This was my first product. It's actually my little sister when she was 11. Now she's almost 20 and she's much more annoying. I kind of liked her better when she was 11, but you know, it is what it is. And that was when my first product was actually not too bad, but I couldn't compete with the Chinese with the price. With people who, you know, who get better prices than me at a product. And I gave up on it, but that was my first one. And then, later on with my partner, Michael Bide, who's not here, unfortunately, we founded IDMA Commerce LLC, and we got to be the top, 1200 Amazon seller online. Now, I came to my friend and I was like, you know, I'm like, we're 1200 and you know, we grew so much online and on Amazon.com and you know, we're going to be a big company. And he's like, 1200 is a lot. They're like more than 1,000 like you. So, although 1200 is not a low number, when you look at that relativity, there are 2.3 million sellers on Amazon.com. So, it makes us more than the top 0.1%. So it's not too bad. And now the last few years, we launched our pet product brand, which is focused on creating co-living spaces, for humans and pets. So the products that we launch are really about creating a whole environment that feeds both us and our pets. And, you know, like we came up with the questions. We really look at the big brands that are selling online and that started online native. You look at Anchor. So Anchor started native online and now it's pretty much everywhere. And really what we see is that the big guys, they were all about launching a lot of products. They were all about launching a lot of products, see what sticks, and then dial down on that. And so we were asking ourselves, okay, we were at a point where we could launch 5 products a year, maybe with a small team, and that was, you know, given it all. And this year we're going to launch 15 products, starting to leverage AI on those tools. But we really are asking ourselves the question, what can we do as a small company to be able to introduce 100 new products to the market? Because if we can introduce 100 new products to the market every year, we're going to be a 100 million company, $100 million company in revenue in no time. So asking this question really drives us back to how we can, what tools we can use. And so the first topic that I want to talk about is, what product should I go with? Now, it differs from company to company, but we as a small company, we don't have marketing resources to go and compete with really big companies that have already established themselves in the market. So we're looking at for smaller markets, somewhere where we can launch without a huge marketing budget. And then we're looking for a market that there are not a lot of competitors still. And if we look at Amazon, so there are not a lot of reviews, that we don't have someone that has been there for 5-6 years. And, you know, we're going to need a lot of marketing budget to be able to stick out throughout hundreds and hundreds of competitors. So we're looking for a market that has not been existing for a lot of time. And we're looking for a low budget. But I would say that the brands that we work with, when they already have a market share, then it's really good to grow that market share. And still we'll do the experiments and what we're going to explore, but expand the market share that they already have with using AI to vary on that and to test new things. And so the tool that I want to talk about, and throughout the talk today, I'm going to introduce some tools. Everything has a free version, like ChatGPT that I'm going to talk about has a free version, but if you want to do volume or if you want to have better results, you got to pay. But really, everything in this call, in this talk is can be free to use if you use it on a little scale. And I did it so you can experiment after this talk. And the first one is Exploring Topics. So Exploring Topics is a website that really analyzes a few marketplaces, obviously works with Google Trends as well, to analyze products and trends. And it really helps us, you know, use the data to understand what market should we go into. And it uses AI, it analyzes the trends and uses AI to predict how the market is going to look like within a year. So we can see, you know, it's not 100%, but we can see if it's a trend or not by using some of those features. And just an example to go here, and this is from, you know, from the free, from free scrolling. So one of the things you can see here is walking pad. Anyone who knows what a walking pad is? So walking pad has boomed in the last couple of years. That's the product. And like, this is a really good example of something that's really blew up and doesn't have a lot of competitors. So someone that's right now in the treadmill business, like this is a shout out to Pivot Quick, because people want the treadmill to have a desk over the treadmill and you know, work while they do their thing. And really the companies that will be able to see this trend will do the pivot, because this seems to be the way things are going due to this brand. And now we're talking about a brand here that launched more recently in the last year and is doing $1 million in revenue only on Amazon.com with 184 reviews that are not so good. So if that's someone's niche, and you already have a treadmill that works and he can make the adjustment, then this is the best time to make that act. But I decided to pay, not to be cheap. because, you know, I wanted to show you guys something in the house range. And so I pay for the subscription. And sometimes, you know, I am cheap, so I'll pay like for 3 months while we're developing the products, and then I'll cancel it, you know, wait for the next year. And here I've put in, you know, I want to see a growth. I wanted to see something that's like in the last 2 years that the growth has been substantial. And I put brands and non-brands. Like non-brand is like that I don't want to say like if it's a brand new that's like booming, but I kind of just want to see what out there, so I left it. And I scrolled down and I came down to this product, Tandem Shower. Anyone heard about it? See maybe like Shopify ads talking about this trend? So I look at this graph, and this is exactly, you know, looking 5 years, this is exactly where I want to be without a budget. I want to be in a market that has boomed lately, that the low points from year to year, they're coming up, and the prediction, you can see the line in the end, the prediction shows that we're still going to be on a top level. Like, there's a boom every year, which is also good, you know, it's an early season also, we want to take that into account. But there is a boom every year, probably around Christmas. You know, you can see November, that's hitting 20K traffic a month, people that are searching for this term. And then it's like it's going down, but it's still, on the regular basis, it's still higher. More people are being introduced to the product, maybe gifts, you know, who knows? And then like it's still stable. So this is like the trend, something that I want to explore. So I will go and see like who's selling. And then I'll go to Amazon and see like this is the bestseller. Tandem Shower by Buna, and I can see, you know, he's selling 500 units a month. He's selling $259. Who can calculate for me how much revenue is that? 500 multiple,
125.
So this guy's doing 125. So I can assume that, and like I look at the market, I really see only, like after this guy, only a few people with low amount of reviews. There's not a lot of supply in the market. Demand is rising, but there's not a lot of supply. And this is the greatest market to launch, when there's more demand than supply. Then I look at this and I say, oh, wow, this is really, you know, it seems like it would not be that hard to launch a product into this market, because the demand is rising and not a lot of people are there yet. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the data, because I have right now products that people have already reviewed. They've already bought, already said what their opinion is. And now as I'm trying to create my competitive edge, I want to look at, you know, what am I manufacturing, right? And then I want to also experiment with design so that I will not launch a design that has no demand in the market. So the first thing that I'll do, I'll go to ChatGPT. Oh, sorry. This is a software called Helium 10. It's an extension. So what I'm going to do, I'm pulling all the reviews, and I'm downloading all the reviews. I click on Expert Table. So I do Review Insights. I know Intense is a free extension. I click on Export Table, and then I have raw data. Now I have an Excel file that I have all the reviews in. Because ChatGPT sometimes can access everything, so we want to make it simple for it. And now I'm going on talk to ChatGPT. And I always like to start, you know, I always try to be polite with ChatGPT. You never know what's going to happen with AI. I want to make sure I'm on his good side. So, how are you doing today? What's up, buddy? And, you know, what's going on? Just trying to be polite. And then I ask ChatGPT. I upload the spreadsheet. And then I say, yeah, all good. Please analyze the attached reviews of my main competitor. Summarize the five most common traits that are good about a product and five attributes that aren't good and the customer are not happy about. Because I don't want to scroll through all the reviews, right? I don't have five assistants. So I want to do that quick. I showed it to ChatGPT, and he's giving me back, and he's analyzing and taking some time. I told him, no pressure, take your time. You know, if you want, I can make you some coffee, Chad. And then he shoots me out some positive traits and some negative traits. So the positive traits are stuff that I want to come up to my design team and I want to say, hey guys, those are things that we don't want to miss. We want to make sure installation is easy. Shower head is important. Burnley, Charlotte is very important, so we don't want to mess this up. We want to like invest on those trades because they came up a lot on the reviews. It means the customers that are buying the products, which is the highest value data, is data for a customer that has purchased and cared enough to leave a review. They care about those things. So when I go out and manufacture a product, I want to take into account all those things. And then I look at the negative traits, which also the chart has come up, that shows like how important that is. And I want to see if those are places that I can improve the product. All right. Now I go and I ask ChatGPT, can you think of a way to improve this product based on this so I could launch? So I don't really have to have a lot of design knowledge. I can just get some ideas, which is also the next topic is to really use AI for ideation. I think it's sometimes easier for us to ask a question, you know, get me a design, get me something, and already work with something, and then tell him that, and then communicate with that. I tell him, make something else, to see, like, to explore, to use AI to explore, which I'll get to in terms of designs in a minute. And so I can use ChatGPT for ways to use the data to improve the product and to address the issues that are not good in the product. And then ChatGPT gives me a few solutions, what to focus on, and obviously every product has some different things. So those are things that ChatGPT offered me. Obviously, if I'm a designer in this field, I will have more knowledge than ChatGPT, at least like at this point. But I use this just for ideation. I can tell him, give me 20 more, right? And then I can use that to see the things that I spot that I can use. And then the next topic in terms of creating our design is I see what's in the market. I see what sells. And when we're looking at online, and I think, you know, we see this a lot with the brands that we work with, is that the main picture is the most important one. Because we want to see what picture will people click on. And so when we are building the designs, we already want to take into account, how will that look in the market? How will that look in the store? How will the product look if I put that next to my main competitor? And obviously I started, you know, the free version to do this together is designed with ChatGPT. And again, you know, I'm just starting chilling, you know, what's up? How you doing? You know, nothing new under the sun. Cool. Then he knows that I'm taking some stuff from Jack Peralta, so I'm backing out. And then I'll just take the headline of my competitor. And there are a lot of ways to play with it and tell the AI what kind of picture or design to generate. But here I'm just taking the headline of my competitor and I tell ChatGPT, can you make a picture of this? And as you see, there are a lot of buttons, way more than should be. But, you know, like it's free, and I just got an image, and, you know, I opened this and I was like, huh, that's actually not that bad idea. And so the next step, this is the free version when you use ChatGPT. But really, an app that's called Midjourney is an app that I would rather use, just because it gives more flexibility in terms of exploring. Because, you know, I can communicate back and forth with ChatGPT, but Midjourney gives you 4 pictures. And on those pictures, you can kind of explore into the next phase. And this is AI. This is not a real picture, although it does seem like a beautiful lady. And really, I go and I input the same title into ChatGPT, and it gives me 4 different options. And I look at this and I say, you know what? I think the last one is something that, you know, I would like to explore more. So I'll go on to that and I say, you know what? Create me strong variations of this picture. Create me strong variations, and then it will output for me 4 more images. And then from 4 more images, I say, you know what? I really like the classic design, the middle to the right one. I really like the classic design, so I'm going to focus on that, and I'm going to go for subtle variations right now. I kind of want to see and explore what other possibilities do I have, and then give me those four. And I come and say, you know, the design to the left doesn't look so, you know, it doesn't look so bad. And so I decided to go with that and to move that forward. And
gotcha.
So what do you think about this design? Looks good. Not too bad. Now, I always come up to myself and I ask myself, what do I think about the design? And really, I'm not the answer because I'm not the audience. First, I'm a male. I don't make those mind decisions anyway, right? And secondly, I'm not the audience and I'm one person. So if I really want to understand if this is relevant to my market, A, I should ask the right audience, and B, I should ask more than one person. Also, when you work on a product for a while, you're biased. And it's sometimes best to ask someone who, you know, doesn't even know you and doesn't even see you or have to answer to you in any way. And the next tool that I want to introduce to be able to test out the market before we're manufacturing even a sample, there are a lot of surveys products out there. The one that I like to use is called Pixu. And they have, I like that they have a free version where you can get a poll once a day, like for five people if you just subscribe to their emails, which are not that bad. And then if I go with a free version, so you know, I took the product and I posted our product versus the product of the competitor that I've seen that's selling well on Amazon. And I see that there's more tendency to go with mine. But really it's important to also analyze what people are writing. And we get an AI summary, which is something, you know, if you want to do a large amount of interviews, you can also integrate that later into ChatGPT, especially in the paid version. And we see that the respondent that chose option B, they didn't like the picture because it looks like it's AI generated, which is something that when we play with the new journey, we were kind of able to dial in on something that's not that much AI generated. It doesn't have four bottoms that are unnecessary, right? And so in the paid version, we did the test to see how people respond, and we still see some positive movement towards our product. Now we can use the AI to analyze, you know, there's not a lot, so I would actually go manually because it's actual people. We took people from the US, women between 25 and 54 that are our Amazon Prime subscribers. So people who are used to Amazon. And we asked the question, you're shopping on Amazon, which of those images you would click on and why? Out of the four, right? And we use the specific audience that we wanna have their opinion. And then we see good respondents to our product and some are going to their competitors. And at this point, I won't go through it further in my talk, but I would go and see why they picked the other ones. Maybe they like they have the free, you know, the free shower where they can use. And really, I can use this process to kind of give myself feedback based on shopping customers that I know they will shop on Amazon. And give myself feedback and improve the design and test it out before it's even in the market. And
yeah. I see that.
And the next thing that I want to talk about, you know, we got a product. Let's say we went back and forth with suppliers because, you know, getting an image is not, it's not where the work ends, right? It's where the work starts. And really this is, I think this is the hard point, like of, you know, saying there is an image. I need to get a product that is price competitive in the market and not just, you know, I can generate me the most beautiful products in the world, but I would have to do that retail 10 times than my competitors. And obviously it's not a product that I could compete in the market. So this is where, you know, there's a lot of work of getting the right supplier, the right manufacturing, getting the right quality. And you know what I see from us designing our own products is that you know, we can go through 5-6 samples before we get something that we're happy with. And we will get samples from a few factories. And if I look back onto you know manufacturing a few decades ago before I started experimenting, I think we were at a point where you'd have to get the perfect product out to the market. Because if you wanted to grow and manufacture, especially if we look at the Asian markets, communication today is much easier than it would have been 30 years ago. And you would really need to invest a lot of resources and usually have to go with bigger MOQs to get a product into the market in large quantities. So since the investment is so big, you would have to get something that's good off the bat. Because you can't just get a container, wholesale it, then have a lot of issues, and you know you've lost a lot of money for development. But in today's world, a lot of the times we can get away with just manufacturing 100 units or a few hundred units of a product. We don't necessarily have to go all in. Because manufacturing has evolved so much, because the communication also with the Asian markets has evolved so much, and technology right now that we see in manufacturing is giving us the ability to be more and more customized in products, I would like to offer, and this is what we do in our company, a model that I call agile manufacturing. And it really goes into saying, instead of focusing our energy, maybe taking 2 years to develop the best product, and launch it to the market, let's invest resources to get just something that I would say is a prototype and get 100 units of that, 150 units of that, and get it to the market. So instead of working on investing so much resources getting the right product and maybe do 2 products a year, let's instead invest resources to launch faster, invest less resources in product, but use the technology and launch 15 products a year. So that even 4, 5, 6, we're still ahead of where we were otherwise. And really, this is one of the products that we've launched a few years ago. It's a dog ramp. And, you know, I was thinking the same thing like some of you. Why would a dog need a ramp? So apparently there are some health benefits for dogs, especially small dogs. And older dogs, you know, having a hard time, and also for the car, but this one is for home. So you get the dog ramps for them. And when we came to the market and there was demand for this kind of product, there was no one there. We found the demand through social media. And like there were no competitors that were bringing a product that could fold, that could, you know, fit under the bed. And we were really one of the first ones in the market to introduce this version. So we got this version out to the market. We manufactured 500 units. We launched it, and it was really bad. We sold everything. We didn't lose money, so that's good because that was enough demand, so we could raise the prices high enough. But we sold it, and we got like average review. It was around 3. And we took all this information from people that have bought the products and left reviews, and we said, okay, now we're going to use this information to start improving the product. So really, the next step, we added a handle so it will be easier to carry. We got stickers on each side, the stickers, non-slip stickers, so that the product would not slide, which is something that happened, you know, that would climb and the product would slide. And then we got a little bit better. And again, we're leading the market. So in this case, we don't really know what to expect. And we take those reviews and we say, you know what, a lot of dogs are sliding, and we came through the idea of, we did 2 things. We added layers so that it would be easier. Like we saw the products that are in the dog parks that have those steps, so we added those steps so it would be easier for the dog to climb. You could see iron stickers there, so we dyed them in black. And then we launched a new product to the market. And right now, this is one of the top selling products on Amazon.com. in Dog Runs for a Bet. And we managed to get reviews really high because we always improve the product. We didn't try to build something perfect off the bat. And right now we're buying thousands of those a month. But really, to get this started, we only needed a few hundred units on the first batch and then a few hundred units on the second batch. And right now what we're looking to do is to really launch a lot of products and start getting to the data on a wider range to create improvement for the product as we go and working wider rather than higher quality, interacting with the customers and using the feedback. And we can really take this feedback back. And what we're doing today is we're building our own databases and we're building the product already parallel to a database. So we can really use the reviews. It's already connected to the database because we used AI to get there. And then like it just start correcting the features of the product. Obviously very immature, but I do think that is where the market is going. And then my last point is that about the future of product design, you know, it's 100% my opinion. I think that what we've seen is, and you know, I go back to where I started, is that we're right now at a point where one designer could do what a dozen designer could have done a few decades ago. And this is, I think this is just a start. The quality is not so good yet. Adoption is taking time. So really they're going to arise more and more tools that are more comfortable to use and that are more in one interface. So, you know, we can think of Bigfoot, you know, rising to be able to understand the entire, process that I showed into one software. And I think we see this in the product research, which is what we talked about today with ideation, with gathering data information, gathering data, gathering ideas, and even using AI to test that in the market. And we're also seeing that slowly but surely happen on the marketing side. So I think that if we look a few years into the future, and I would wait for that to happen, a lot of the 3D modeling that we're doing today for our products and a lot of the designs as the imaging AI evolves, it will be held more by softwares. And I think like humans will just need to fill in the gap. And I think our point as visionaries and as creators is really to be in the middle. It goes to what I said, to come in and take the ideas into a more realistic realm and seeing, you know, that the prices are right and communicating with customers and communicating with vendors. And it also comes to the other side of being able to humanly interact. I was here in the last few minutes of the last talk, and I think the more AI is becoming real, the more human interaction has more value. And I think there's going to be a lot of variety in the market, but an actual person picking the phone, which you don't see a lot these days, and an actual person, you know, in store, showing the product, helping you, I think this is where our role will be. To kind of be the glue between ideas and execution, and also to be able to interact with our customers, not just through the data, to gather more ideas and to be able to deliver great products in higher quantity. And I do think that is like where I do see this going is that we're looking at a market that will have a large variety of products. Because if right now it's really easy to launch a product, it means that there will be more and more products in the market. And if we're looking at personalization, so if you look at markets becoming really global and, you know, you can see, like, for example, you have those strollers for two babies. And you can have strollers for two babies that have another specification. Like pink. And I think like the more we are, the easier it is to launch product, we're really able to address demand of individuals and to get customization really down there because there are so many people on the planet. Do I have any more thing off? I think that's it. I think I'm done. So thank you very much for listening. And we have some time for questions.
Does anybody have any questions?
Look, I got to go right here.
I've got to go.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. Excuse me. Could you hold one second?
This nice looking shop, but it's in a warehouse building. But what I was very impressed was that they have a range of shower heads and they have a bathroom for you to bathe in with towels. And I was looking and watching the other customers, and yes, two or three of them went in, tried it, 1 minute, came out, and of the three, four, I think two of them purchased it. Very nice shower, and then we think that you can just for hot massage and all that. See, so they want to try it out. And that was the first time I went to a shop with a shower, or for a shower.
Thank you for sharing that.
Hi. So I'm actually thinking, don't you worry that we as an industry and even adjacent industries get so attracted to launching to market fast, and everybody does it, but these are products that are not tested that might leave users and buyers disappointed. Like, could we erode the marketplaces that we so heavily depend on if so much is, you know, maybe not what we're looking for?
So that is a great question. I do think like you do need to make sure, like I'm not saying, you know, just take a product and don't like from AliExpress and launch it. I do think you need to invest the resources because your brand name is important. But for example, so, like there are a few things that we do. One is we use a program called Vine. So we give the products to customers, which their goal is to test the product and give you feedback. So we use those programs. And another thing that I think that's really good on that is, you know, once you have people that are buying your brand on a regular basis, is to give deep discounts for our customer to say, try our new prototype at 50%. And sometimes, you know, like what I like to do, every time a customer gives me feedback, I'll get them the next version for free. And then like, this is how I kind of invite my customer to be a part of building the brand. So I think what you're saying is true. And we do require to have enough quality control, which I think is why it's good that there are regulations, to make sure, especially with products that, you know, we use in each world or, you know, our showers, they have regulations to make sure that we're launching good products. And then I think the invitation, for a customer to be a part of the process and being transparent with the customer, but this is a prototype, I think this will create even more value and engagement with the customers.
I worry a little bit about really the speed of a message you raised too, not just in terms of eroding the market, but making sure that you abide by safety regulations and because anybody who buys something expects that you've passed, your product has passed certain regulatory standards. And sometimes I see things that come out fast that they're just, into getting it on the market fast.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do think that's a great concern. And again, responsibility of brand owners. I showed like the graph, and I think like, especially for brands that are launching products in the same niche, then I think like back in the days, we had to be like all the way over here. And what I'm not suggesting to come over here, I'm suggesting to come somewhere over here so that we can make sure the basics are done. But sometimes we're too busy, like we're falling in love with the product. And I'm kind of suggesting this is what we should avoid, because I see a lot of entrepreneurs You know, I asked them, you know, what would happen with a product, you know, they'd go, no, it's not ready yet, we're doing another version. And then, you know, they end up launching into the market and there's actually no demand. No one is looking for the promise of what they're trying to sell. On the other side, if they were to put that time into launching 3-4 products, then probably one would have demand. And I think this is the most important point is to get customers who are into, to understand if the customers are actually looking for the promise, if we can sell that on this price, which is why I like to launch first on the Amazon marketplace, because I get real customers to buy. I can use advertising to understand how would that look if that was scalable. And then what would happen after version one, and maybe I use my audience and version two that you know is better and I launch it to, you know, to the market, I will then go and buy a container of a product. And I will get to a point where I have 2 loops of feedback, getting the product into a very good shape, and in the same time span and less resources than I would have done if I took the time to get something perfect that might not have the demand that I thought.
As long as you
do the quality control.
Know that it's something
you
cross.
Yeah, I agree.
You
yes.
Hold it. 1 second, please. Is this your next? Oh, no problem. Okay, then I will greet you.
Thank you. Do you ever launch it with a different brand name, just so that if it doesn't work very well, that you don't sully the brand when you launch it?
Maybe I will, but I don't think my customers care that much. Like I said, we're not big. But maybe I would. Maybe I would if I wanted to test it out. Like I said, I think it's more good to have like a program within your brand. If you're already big, use the people that like your brand to help you with the design. So I would more go with like creating a Vine program for your specific audience that already like your brand and you know this is what you want to scale on, rather than launching on another brand. If I already have, I'm still like a small brand and I have, you know, 3 products, no one still looks for my name. But if I had a big brand and someone was looking for my name, I would just create those programs within the brand that I could use my audience by scale, by leveraging AI and maybe getting 1,000 respondents using ChatGPT to analyze that to evolve my products.
So if you launched it with a disposable brand, maybe nobody would test it anyway, and so it wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, like a product that doesn't work, you know, like they say fail fast. So if a product doesn't work, it will be out of the market in a month. No one will remember it. Only like 100 people tried it.
Thank you. I have one other question. There was an app that you mentioned that was Trends, something Trends, but I missed
it. Yeah, sorry. I might have not said that. It's called Exploding Topics. The first one, Exploding Topics. The one that I use is owned by Semrush. They're a big data marketing company, very old.
Exploding Talk.
You know what? I'm not sure. I think so. I'm pretty sure that yeah, but I haven't tested it myself. I was very focused on the U.S. market.
So any other questions?
John, yeah.
I think it was that one after Exploding.
Thank you for your presentation. And yes, also about the tools, you talked about analysis of pictures, what works better for customers. So what kind of tool you used for this?
So I'll review the tools real quick. Just so you have access to that. So the first one that I showed was Exploding Topics. The one, and this is where I dial into the onto the graph. Then I use the Helium 10 to extract reviews. It's called Helium 10.
What?
Helium. H-E-L-I-U-M. Helium, like what you put in balloons that gets your voice higher. Then ChatGPT, there's this one we all know. then I used for like better images, like I like it better, the Midjourney, all right? And then I think the last one that I used was Picfu.
Just put it there.
Yeah. Picfu.
There are other questions?
No.
I wanted to ask a question.
Yeah.
Because obviously the focus turns into output.
Yeah.
And putting things in the market and everything else. One of the interesting points I think you made very early on was you do a lot of review of things like reviews to determine where there are markets that are underserved or where there are markets that are poorly served. And, you know, how critical is that to your development process to know that you're going into a market where there might be not be a lot of product or a lot of satisfaction? I mean, is that kind of always your grounding point?
It's a good question. I think like if your target market is online, then it's very crucial. Like you can't really go without it, because it will be very hard to catch up. And I think, you know, I mentioned this at first, it really depends of who you are. If I'm a brand that already have a dog ramp and, you know, I'm pretty high up there, then it's worthwhile for me to develop more of that. A, because I have like the manufacturing, I already did like the safety, so I can do like 3-4 conversions, you know, rather easy relative to my competitors. And I could use variations. If I look at Amazon, I can use variations to launch or variations to test. And I can add a product as a variation to my product only if it works. And use my traffic that I'm already getting to the original product to launch a new product. So they're like, when you're already established, you can make, you can get into markets that are already established. And I also think like, if you are a known brand and you want to launch a product online, you can use your audience and use discounts to get the momentum and to be like top of your list. Because we see a lot of the times that, big brands, when they're launching products, obviously their products work much better because people will click on their products because it's the brand name and they know the brand. So I think like if you're already established, you might want to go on to these places. But if you're still a small brand, then I would definitely make sure that I'm not running into a dead end. Because I think like today with the price of logistics, price of storing products, like getting stuck with inventory could be like much more than the inventory worth itself. To be stuck with inventory, and you can lose a lot of money by being with a product and not selling for a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I missed it or not, but you're talking about if you're going into a newer market, like you were saying, like you were doing with the dog ramps, let's say, where you're kind of building your own market.
Yeah.
What tools did you use for, or what did you do for establishing the price point for that?
No, that's a really good question. I would say I would go, like ideally, I go in and look at keywords. So the example that I gave in the dog ramp, the only dog ramps that were in the marketplace were those bombastic dog ramps. And, you know, let's say there were only small dog ramps that sold at $40. Then if I go and I will look, you know, when we're looking online when we're looking at marketplaces, it's all about keywords. And I see what people are already searching because the problem exists. If people didn't have problems, there were no demand. But the problem exists, that means that there's a keyword that depicts this problem best. And I would go and look at this at the keyword, and I'll see what sells and what solves the problem. And like in this case, I saw that the problem is being solved, but just by very expensive products, it would be $200, $250, and they will be very large. You can fold them. And this is where I came up and, you know, I made a decision based on, can I bring a product to the market, that is better, or, you know, that solve a problem in the same way, but in a cheaper price. This is how I knew I should pursue that. But it's definitely a step of validation that we want to see that, A, that we're not, you know, going on a fidget spinner on something that is very trendy and it might be gone in, you know, in a few months. We want to see that we're actually solving a problem. There's actually a keyword to this problem. We went for the tender trial. We set as keyword that is pretty stable throughout the year. And then we want to see that the product that we're launching, I mean, let's say we were going manufacturing what the AI brought out. I would want to see that I can compete with pricing with the two guys that we've seen. That I could sell a product at $200, $150. Maybe if I could sell a $99, it can be even more dominant than those two. But I would say that when a market erupts, usually pricing is not the main point. It becomes the main point, like the main point after the market is established. So while I go about my Asian manufacturing, I would also need to optimize for a better cost. Because as I go and I do 1,000 units, I could be, or 2,000, 3,000 units, or 4,000, I could be just more competitive than my competitors just by volume and by already doing the phases. Maybe I change from chrome to metal, or, you know, I don't know, but I tested it out because I do know that what happens with a market is that it starts high because there's more demand than supply. And then, you know, as supply catch up, because more competitors will get in, prices will get lower. And we'll get to the certain equalness. And I want to make sure that over there I'm competitive and that I can make my profit there.
Well, that's all our time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, the audience.